Thank you, David. It is an honor to get to share with you this morning. I'm very, 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 very excited. If you know me, I tend to be excited on a pretty regular basis, which is good, which is good. I am Brent Davis. I'm the children's pastor here at Impact. Absolutely love it. My wife, Sarah, we've been married. It's going to be 12 years in April. I'm very excited about that. Really good. Kind of freaked me out when I did the math on that the other day. And then we have three children. Taylor is our oldest. She is 7 years old. We have a son, Jasper, who will be 5 here in about a month. And our youngest daughter is Julia, who's asleep in mommy's arms right now, and she is 18 months. And so I think I already said, but we've been here for 2 years at Impact, and we have absolutely loved it. We've loved every minute of it. We feel so blessed to be a part of what God is doing here. And we love this word from Graham. This prophetic word, I love the prophetic. And I didn't grow up, anyway, I don't need to get into all that, but I love the prophetic. It's very powerful, and this is a very, very powerful word that we've been unpacking in kids' church on a pretty regular basis. And every time we go into it, just more seems to pop out at us. And so we're gonna unpack this word or this component of this word this morning. And I remember because I can remember David had been calling Graham and asking him, hey, you know, could you possibly come out for our 20th anniversary? You know, all right, well, could you maybe, you know, give us a prophetic word, write something like that? And David was tenacious in encouraging Graham to do that. So I can remember we hadn't received anything. And then when I got back from kids camp, literally just fresh off the van and we're unpacking gear and all this stuff, David comes running out. He says, Brent, we got the word from Graham, and it is awesome. He said, you're going to love it. He uses the word game changers like 50 times. This is going to be so good. And he talks about Daniel and all this stuff, and David's saying that. And part of me's thinking, oh, David must have put him up to it to make me feel better or something like that. And so I asked him, I said, well, did you tell him? He's like, no, Graham doesn't even know. He hasn't been out here in years, and God just spoke this to him. And so that was a great moment. I'll never forget that. It was hugely encouraging. And David, I love your heart, and I love your enthusiasm, I love your zeal, and we are so fortunate. It's a pleasure and honor to get to work underneath you. And David and Cindy, you guys are amazing. You're such great leaders. You love family. You love this family. You're all about his family. So we just I want to honor and just appreciate you. So thank you. Thank you guys so much. And then that was cool. And then I remember when we were in here at the 20th anniversary and they showed all those powerful prophetic words. And when Graham spoke, I mean, you could feel it. It's kind of, isn't God amazing that he can do that through a video transmission or screen? But it was like, it just came. And he spoke all these words that were just so powerful and so rich. I specifically remember some of these words where he talked about Impact as being a group of explorers, warriors, pioneers, champions, and game changers, heroes raised up who will make a difference. And that all of that was a huge confirmation, because a lot of those words that he used, they're children's ministry words. They're words that we prayerfully, like, all right, God, what do you want the theme to be here? What are you saying? And with game changers, obviously that's what we call our VBS. For those of you who don't know, champion is what we called our kids camp 2 summers ago. Pioneer is what we called our kids camp this past summer. And warriors, we're always telling the kids that they're warriors. That's one of my favorite things to tell them. You are a warrior. You are powerful. Whether you're a boy or a girl, it's so, so, so cool. And then explorers, I can't remember if I said this last night or not, but explorers, Sarah and I were met in children's ministry at a church in Austin, and that children's ministry that we were a part of was called Explorers. So when I heard that, I was just like wrecked. I was like, all right, Graham, I'm going for it. We're receiving it, and this is huge confirmation. Now, I also want to give you confirmation, or at least give you encouragement and permission to engage in this aspect of the word. Whatever life stage you're in, whether you have young children, whether you're single, whether you've got grandchildren, whatever spectrum you're in life, I want to encourage you that even though you might not be in the birth to seventh grade age bracket, there's an opportunity to see how this word applies to you and to those around you, because we're all God's children, and we're all encouraged to have that childlike faith. And it's one of the most powerful things to get to witness when a child who doesn't have all the stuff that we have just embraces the truth and believes. It's so, so beautiful. So I want to encourage you to become childlike and to see your role in this. And remember, Graham said, we are in an Isaiah 35 community with a simple, childlike, glorious relationship with the kingdom. So let's embrace that and see what God's doing in our youngest generation. A generation of Daniels, Esthers, Samuels, Deborahs, Calebs, and Marys emerging from birth to seventh grade. Now, we started in September a series, and we called it Champions, because all six of these individuals whom Graham references, they're all champions of the faith. And I was really struck with why did God highlight these people for this generation? And so we wanted to look at what did these people have? What did they carry? What were their lives like that relates to these kids who are being raised up? And there's some common, and I wish we had more time, because I studied, they're all amazing. I mean, just what their names mean, what they did. I would say if there's a common thread, the biggest thing I see is they all took the kingdom from one stage to the next. There's that common thread. I would also say they were fearless. They didn't succumb. They didn't give in to kind of the prevailing norm. They knew who they were, and they were unafraid to stand in that. And they were all leaders. They had hugely strong character, and they influenced the culture around them. And you see that with all of them. And the two that I just want to highlight briefly are Caleb and Mary. And it's real interesting in that the order, it's not a chronological order that Graham gives us these champions. And Caleb and Mary, they're opposite extremes of the chronology, in that Caleb is right there when they're about to possess the promised land, and then Mary obviously is right there when Jesus comes on the scene. And so, but with Caleb, you see this. To me, he's kind of like a cowboy almost, in that he's like, yeah, we can do it. And if you're not familiar with the story, Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land to go check it out. God had promised them, you guys are going to get this land. It's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. It's awesome. So Moses says, all right, guys, let's get 12 guys from each tribe. Why don't you guys go and for 40 days kind of go through the land and come back and give us a report? So they come back, and the prevailing sentiment is, yeah, it's really great, and we think there's milk and honey. The grapes are huge. The pomegranates are wonderful. But, man, those people, there are giants in there. It is scary. Those guys are way, way big. As a matter of fact, we see ourselves as grasshoppers. We shouldn't do it. And Caleb, I mean, he's like ripping his robe. He's like, what are you guys talking about? This is so good. We can take it. I mean, he's just so bold, and he refuses to give in to the fear that everyone else was experiencing. Caleb saw things differently. That's what's fascinating. All 12 of them saw the same thing. Caleb saw nothing but opportunities. Where the other guys were seeing problems, Caleb was seeing possibility. And he knew that God was with them. And so here's the point I'm getting to. Because of what Caleb saw, he got to live out that promise. He got to experience it. He got to walk in it. Whereas everyone else did not. And so Caleb saw things differently. And then God himself said of Caleb, he has a different spirit inside of him. And I'll tell the kids that all the time. You have a different, and I'm going to tell each and every one of you in this room, you have a different spirit inside of him. If you've received Jesus, he gives you a new spirit. His spirit comes in and lives inside you and transforms you from the inside out. And this is a generation of Calebs. This is a generation where they're not going to be afraid. They're going to go for it, and they're going to see impossible situations as possibilities and opportunities. And then Mary, similarly, she experiences this kind of unprecedented miracle. We're so familiar with the story that it's real easy. Oh, yes, she got pregnant. It's like, no, man. And then she believed. That's the bigger thing, is she believed it when there was no context. It had never before happened in history, and she believed. And her belief, what does she carry? There's a different spirit inside of Caleb. In Mary, she carried the King of Kings, the King of Heaven. She ushered heaven into the world. It's just absolutely, absolutely mind-blowing to me. And so we talk about seeing the promise. She saw God's promise for hundreds of years, over 1,000 years, what had been prophesied, become a reality in her lifetime. Just absolutely incredible. And so when I see these kids, I see this generation in which what's unprecedented is going to happen, and they're going to be a part of bringing that to fruition. Children with all the promises of an adult generation built into their DNA. That is such a powerful statement. And it is all about identity and about believing. And this is one of my favorite t-shirts. I wear it every Sunday. Our team wears this over in Kids Church. And one, I love the color orange. And then two, it's got a cool design. It's got, for those of you who don't know, it's arrows inside a quiver, and it's really cool. And you probably can't see this, but on the strap, it says, "There's no such thing as a junior Holy Spirit." And don't you love that? I love it so much. First time I heard this, like, oh, yeah, come on. And we tell the kids that repeatedly. They don't receive, like, when they accept Jesus, they don't get a downgraded Happy Meal version of the Holy Spirit. All right? They get the full enchilada. They get the whole thing. And isn't that awesome? And if anything, Holy Spirit has a greater opportunity to release his power through them. And I've seen it happen all the time. Kids pray the most simple prayers, but they're powerful. Why? Because they're prayers of faith and because they believe. And they just, Holy Spirit, kids don't have the baggage. They don't have the filters that some of us have put in place. And I just want to encourage everybody, embrace that child who you are. Embrace that child. Just get rid of the baggage. He'll take it away for you gladly. Remove the filters and become like a child and believe with that kind of power. So there's no junior Holy Spirit. And then all those champions, those six champions in that prophetic word, are just amazing. And what God keeps reminding me of is in Matthew 11:11, where Jesus, speaking of John the Baptist, he says, "Of those born of women, none is greater." All right, so that's a pretty big group that he's elevating John the Baptist above. That means he's elevating John the Baptist above even Samuel, Daniel, Esther, Caleb, Mary, and I always try to remember them all. And Esther. It's okay. You guys know they're six amazing people. Deborah's the one I forgot. And so then he goes on to say, the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. And so, and I really think that's why the enemy loves to attack identity, in that we don't really know who we are. We don't really know what we carry. And there is so much, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is inside of us. We have this opportunity to change the landscape in our community and in our world. Our mission is to bring heaven to earth. And so we tell the kids that constantly, and they're walking in that. And so we've got this wonderful opportunity and we tell them who they are and that you are created. Your created value is massive, and there's a destiny. There's a specific reason you're here so that God can work through you so powerfully. And in talking about this generation, Graham goes on to say, they will have a Samuel anointing. They will know God from an early age, and they will never fall away. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, we could just camp right there. They will never, come on. They will never fall away. So expect the move of God constantly. I love that, right? Samuel, he was positioned to hear from God from an early age. If you don't know the story of Samuel, he had a mother whose name was Hannah, and she wanted a son desperately, and so she cried out to him. She had been barren for many years, so she pleaded to him to give her a son, and she promised that if God answered her prayer, she would dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. So sure enough, she eventually gets pregnant, she has a son, she weans him, she dedicates him to the Lord, and then she literally hands him over to Eli, who was the priest at the house of God in Shiloh. And Samuel, as a boy, is literally sleeping next to the Ark of Covenant, which is where God's presence is. So he grew up really, really, really close to just in all around, saturated in God's presence. He knew God, he knew his voice, and he obeyed. And he became Israel's first official prophet. And he held the office of prophet and priest. And he continued, as he grew up, he continued to hear and deliver powerful messages from God that influenced kings and changed history. He literally anointed the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David, and God moved incredibly during his lifetime. And you see this amazing transformation, which Israel's this little podunk nation that nobody's heard about, and they're struggling with their enemies, and they're struggling to claim the territory, and in steps this boy, Samuel, who grows up to be a man, and from that moment to about, I don't know if it's 50 or at most 100 years later, by the time David's son Solomon is king, Israel is a global superpower. And kings and queens from afar are coming to Israel to just behold the wealth that they have, the wisdom that they have, and to praise the God of Israel. So what I see with this, so expect a move of God constantly, is these kids, they know God. They hear from God. They're going to continue to do that, and God's going to move powerfully through them to change the course of history, to change the landscape. There's no limit to what they can accomplish. And so we're partnering with Holy Spirit in agreeing with that and speaking that into their lives. And speaking of partnering with the Holy Spirit, parents partnering with the Spirit on behalf of their children to help them develop trust in the nature of God. And so I wear, I've got three bracelets up on this wrist, and my favorite one is this one that says, I must. And it refers to Jesus at age 12 when his parents had lost him for 3 days. He was hanging out in the temple. They come back, they're exasperated, they finally found him, and he speaks 7 words to them, saying, I must be about my Father's business. And what's great is his parents didn't understand. I mean, it was a very bold statement for anyone to make. God was rarely, if ever, referred to as Father, and so for him to say, I must be about my Father's business, they didn't connect the dots, but Jesus was declaring who he was. He was saying, listen, this is what I'm about, this is who I am, and this is what I need to do. I'm all about the Father's business. And in order for him to be about the Father's business, he had to know the Father's heart. Kids must know the nature of God. It is so important, because when we know how much he loves us, we trust him completely. And I would say times in which I've made the biggest steps of faith in my own life are times in which I've just been saturated and changed by his love, and it's become palpable and his presence and just who he is just changes everything. And so the question is how do we do that? If parents are partnering with the Spirit on behalf of their children to help them develop trust, how can you give kids opportunities to trust in God's goodness and love? And with parents, I specifically want to encourage you, just invite Holy Spirit into your parenting if you haven't already. And Jesus, we sang it, he's Lord of all. I mean, he's absolutely amazing. There's no situation that he can't handle. And when we partner with him, when we recognize, okay, you've come inside me, you've transformed me, you're going to help me to see things differently, you're going to help me to see my children differently, I'm not going to see the behavior, I'm not going to see things the way the world sees them, I'm going to see their created value. I'm going to see the destiny that you've placed inside of them. I'm going to see the greatness that you've put in them, and I'm going to partner with you to unpack that. And so, no, I love that word, partner. You're not alone. You're a partner. And sometimes parenting can be really, really challenging. You learn a lot, some of it not so fun, about yourself, and it's very humbling. And sometimes you can feel alone in that capacity and know that that's a lie. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit's with you in the big and in the little, and he can guide you. The goal is for our kids to trust in the nature of God. Not never mess up, not have perfect grades, or become the captain of the football team, not that those are bad things, but to know intimately in their heart who God is to them. So over Christmas, we had the opportunity to go visit my parents. My parents live in Austin, and for a variety of reasons, we haven't been able to see them and us as much as we'd like. And so it was really fun to go spend a week with them over Christmas. And we're there, and at one point, our children's cousins are playing out kind of in the driveway, and Julia, our youngest, who's 18 months, sees that, and she wants to go be a part of it. And so she's very cute. You know, she grabs her shoes, and she comes out and into the kind of the foyer living room area, and she's holding her shoes, and people, amazing thing about Julia, I've never seen someone be able to communicate with grunts and a pacifier in her mouth more effectively than she does. It's the funniest thing in the world. So she's got her little passy in her mouth, and she's holding her shoes. Julia, do you want to go outside? Mm-hmm, yes. I shouldn't see it. Mm-hmm. And she nods her head, yes. And my dad is standing right there, and he's called Papo. And so they say, Julia, do you want Papo to take you outside? Mm-mm-mm. And Taylor, her sister, who's 7, is right there. And so he say, Julie, you want Taylor to take you out? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Taylor helps her outside. And the reason she didn't want Papo to help her outside is she didn't know his nature. She didn't know what he was all about. She didn't have a relationship with him. She didn't have a context with him. And the irony is, I mean, my dad's a pretty strong guy. And I'm not devaluing Taylor's strength, but if Julia were to fall or anything like that or needed help being lifted up, Papo is much more equipped to help her than Taylor. And so, but the key to emphasize is Julia knew Taylor's nature and trusted her, and she didn't know Papo's nature. And so remember the story of Samuel and then Eli. When Samuel's called by the Lord, Samuel heard God's voice. He didn't recognize it. He didn't know what to do. And then Eli kind of helps him eventually discern. Okay, you know what? This is God speaking to you. Respond this way. The kids at Impact are all Samuels, and we are all called to be like Eli. And that's true whether you're a parent, whether you're a guardian, grandparent, or not. We all have spiritual children that need guidance because they are hearing from God. And they need people like Eli to guide them and to help them recognize God's voice and know how to reply and respond. The biggest lie that parents hear is that I'm not enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm not smart enough. I'm not strong enough. I'm not patient enough. I'm not wise enough. I'm not old enough, or I'm not young enough. I'm just all, and there, you can fill in the blank on that. I'm not blank enough. And we're no blankety blanks. All right, we don't want those. Because it's all a lie. Because if you're partnering with Holy Spirit to parent them, you are more than enough. And in addition to that, He's promised us. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. And so we can receive that and be equipped with Him and partner with Him, and do just an amazing job parenting our children. And when our children see us partnering with Holy Spirit, then we begin to model what walking in the Spirit looks like. We begin to model what trusting in His nature looks like. And it's okay to say, as a parent, I don't know. Let's ask Holy Spirit. You can even ask your kids to ask Holy Spirit as well. And like the situation with Julia and Papo, the key is to invite God into your home every day. And I would even encourage you to take it a step further. Dedicate your house to the Lord. And just let your house be a Christ-centered home where He's dictating, He's ruling, He's encouraging you in everything that goes on. So that hearing from God isn't just a once a week thing or on the holidays. It's a lifestyle. And when you do that, amazing things happen. The other thing I want to encourage is, as parents or wherever you are, is know His nature, know His heart. God is so amazing. I sense it during worship. I sense it all the time. But He wants to give us a greater revelation of His love for us. He wants us to experience greater intimacy. And wherever you are in life, whatever you have going on, know that Jesus' ability to transform us is limitless. And it's His heart to transform us into His image. We're created in His image, but He wants us to shine. He wants the world to see us and wonder, what is different about them? Look, I know they're going through a tough time, but look at how they're handling that. They're not becoming a tough time. There's something different about them. And David gave me this book by Graham Cook called The Nature of God. And we're gonna get like a, we sold out last night, but we're gonna get like 100 copies, and we want to give them to parents to encourage you to press in to know His nature, so that He then transforms you and your children see His nature in you. And yeah, that is really awesome. And remember that Jesus said, if you've seen me, He told His disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Danny Silk, in his book, Loving Our Kids on Purpose, encourages us as moms and dads to be able to tell our children the same thing. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. And that's a tall order, but I want to encourage everybody to go for that and to know that it's possible, because what He does is absolutely amazing. It's going to be a presence generation able to hear God, an encouraging generation with a prophetic voice. These kids are carriers of His presence right now. And like Samuel, they're positioned for a lifestyle of being in and carrying His presence. They're able to hear His voice and share God's love by telling others what He's saying. I love that. One of the things when I first got to Impact, the impressions that the ministry team would get. I still hang. It's one of my favorite moments to see what is God speaking to us. And in Kids Church, we'll have kids during worship get impressions. We'll record them in this book, and then after worship and before the message, kids will get up and share some impressions that they've gotten, and it will blow you away how spot on the impressions are and how powerful they are. I just want to read you a couple. One was, I had a dream that God came down and snuggled with me. God wants to snuggle us today. Isn't that beautiful? Another one, even when you feel small, do not forget that I say you are big. When you worship, let out all your fire. And then listen to these. These are from last week. Your chains have been broken. And I see a picture of a table full of food. Another one is, I made you wonderful. And then listen to this one. A vision of someone sick with cancer. Angels came all around the bed, and they didn't have cancer anymore. Yeah, isn't that great? It's so cool. There's no junior Holy Spirit. They're speaking his words in his life, and we, in creating a prophetic culture, in that we've got an encouraging generation with a prophetic voice. It's all about intimacy and relationship. It's all about hearing his voice and then encouraging one another with what he's saying. So give them a voice. Let them be heard. I would encourage you to have journals at home, to give your kids opportunities to just record what he's saying to them. And if your children can't read or write, they can draw pictures. Time and time again, I've seen it with our kids, we've seen it in kids in kids' church, where they get a download and they draw a picture of it. It is just amazingly powerful. And so give them opportunities to express what God is speaking to them. All right, and the final thing I want to share with you guys is this. I knew I could not get through a message about kids without talking about arrows. And this is like one of my favorite things. It's in my office, and I just love it. And for those of you who don't know, a verse that I'm passionate about, we built a VBS around it, is Psalm 127:4-5, where children are like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And in battle, the winner isn't the one who has the most arrows left in the quiver at the end. Now, the arrows were made to be released. Now, by that, as parents, we hold the arrows in our hands. And when we partner with Holy Spirit allows us to release them at the right time to be the most impactful. Arrows were incredibly valuable, and by releasing, I don't mean like it's time to leave the home. I mean release them in that there's a situation where Holy Spirit wants to be released through them, and we allow that to happen. And Holy Spirit will reveal to us when that needs to happen, and it's I would argue it's more often than we realize, because kids are powerful, and the enemy is afraid of them. And so don't let your fear keep you from releasing them into the spiritual battle now. Pray for this generation, and pray for parents too. So David, why don't you come on up and kind of close us. So thank you guys very much.